Welcome to Arts commentator Juliana Ingberg. Welcome back, who's working on programming for the Auckland Art Gallery. Today we're talking about New Zealanders getting out and about to see their own country. We've talked about doing that through the outdoors. Well, we're looking at the influence the real landscape has on art. Welcome, Juliana. Welcome back.
Oh, good morning, Catherine. Thank you very much for having me.
It's a statement of the obvious that art, that the outdoors and the landscape is influential on New Zealand artists. But now that I think about it, I can see images, but just the scale of it is quite significant. Could you tell us more and perhaps take, shall we begin with an international perspective as to how landscape has always been such a driving influence?
Well, you know, I mean, your immigrant artists right from the get-go were completely entranced by your landscape. It's completely obvious why they would be when you're out and about in it. It is magnificent. Every turn, every bend delivers, you know, just another fantastic vista. But, of course, a lot of the immigration artists, especially those coming from Britain, from Scotland predominantly, were trained in the sublime landscape, were trained in a sort of classical Claudian fashion. So when they arrived, predominantly, of course, by boat, what they found, what they saw in front of them was this extraordinary arrangement of forms, including, of course, your magnificent mountainscapes, and of a kind of twinning that actually could happen from looking at lakes and bringing those things together, producing a variation of the European sublime, but now the Antipodean sublime. So when I'm travelling in your landscape, I can't help but carry those images with me. It's a kind of busman's holiday issue. You know, you want to go and see the landscape, but I constantly read it through the way in which it's been visioned by a lot of your wonderful artists.
We've had different eras, of course, and do we see very different interpretations or stylistic approaches between the eras?
Very much so. I mean, at the very beginning, as I mentioned, you have that sublime menu that artists are drawing from. And so, I mean, for instance, we have a magnificent work in the Auckland Art Gallery collection by the Australian artist Eugene von Gerard, who came here for a mere couple of weeks on a fantastic sketching trip. But he produced from that opportunity two significant paintings, one of which we have, which deliver this extraordinary view of the fjordscape with the mountains and the caps of snow and the remarkable kind of, you know, proscenium of the whole arrangement. Later, you see the modernists begin to craft a very different vision of space. This has a lot to do, I think, with the way in which, of course, transport changes over a short period of time, where once the immigration artists came, as I said, by sea and were kind of on the fringe of things and entering the sounds by boats, the modern artists were actually going out into the landscape in cars now, on trains, and being able to actually embed themselves in a different kind of a stratum of vision. So from that is produced these very extraordinary modernist regionalisms that are produced, especially just between the wars in the latter part of that period. We see the development of the kinds of works that people, I think, would be very familiar with, and that is those bundled hills, those incredibly verdant scenes that are often sort of stratumed up from the front to the back and with the little landscape of the mountains appearing in the background now, sort of sent to the back, whereas we're bringing the pastoral, the productive landscape, the modern landscape to the forefront. These things, of course, coincide rather well, wonderfully, with the political shifts and the trade interests of a country. But they also reveal, I think, that the regional modernists, the New Zealand-grown and born artists, are feeling much more comfortable in a landscape. What is interesting, though, is they are often very depopulated, whereas the Europeans tended to pop little bystanders here and there. In the modernist landscapes, we are pure landscape. We are not, in fact, actually popping little bits and pieces into it. We're encountering it as a very different kind of almost eerie or mythological place to some extent.
We do see, though, I know you want to reference Cass, that iconic painting, sorry for the overused word, by Rita Angus. We do see sometimes aspects of lived environment very much becoming a focal point or a point of what is otherwise a very distinctive landscape. And we see several artists who utilise it as almost as a tool or a mechanism for appreciating landscape.
Absolutely. I was incredibly taken with the fact that this little humble hut, this little tiny red structure of Rita Angus's in her painting Cass, was nominated as the most favourite painting in your repertoire here in New Zealand. So naturally, of course, being the diligent I am, I went to Cass to see it firsthand. And still standing, it's there, a monument to itself in some ways. But I like the idea that this humble little shed has occupied such a place in the New Zealand psyche. And I think there are reasons for this. It's solitariness. It's littleness. In many ways, I can see why it's the national picture, because in some respects it inhabits, it personifies, if you like, the very feeling that New Zealand had at that time, a tiny little place doing it for itself amidst this sort of mountainscape and quite daunting sort of environment, finding its own sort of way. But what is interesting to me is that Rita Angus went on a sketching trip with her friend Louise Henderson. And Louise Henderson similarly painted scenes in that very area. But she, coming from France, has a slightly different approach. Hers is a more convivial kind of picturing. We see her painting communities of buildings, so not that isolated type of structure. And we see her also utilising a much more delicate, almost gelato kind of palette, as compared to Rita Angus's, which is slightly more strident, a little bit more solid in form. Louise Henderson's is a little bit more designy and a little gentler, with its billowing, waving sort of clouds and its buffeting sort of landscape in the front there. It's got a lot of delectical movement, and it's a very, very enticing work. Lovely to see, and if people should be passing by Christchurch Gallery at the moment, they can pop in and see the real thing, because it's in the Louise Henderson show, which is a wonderful, terrific survey of that artist's work.
What about contemporary artists and our leading contemporary artists? It's hard to go past Lisa Rehana, isn't it? Would you, with her epic Pursuit of Venus, would this fit into your theme?
Yeah, totally. I mean, Lisa's work is wonderful. And I've seen actually that work in Venice now, in Toronto also now here. it does really bring it full circle to some extent. But what it does is it takes the early landscape of the surveyors, those artists that were technically claiming land, and it takes it sort of beyond that space to an ever folding out, ever never ending journey of identity and reclaiming land. And so it is a very, very wonderful piece. Got a great reception in Venice, incidentally. People were completely captivated by it. But I also rather like the work of Michael Parakofi, and we have his magnificent River Piano in our collection in Auckland. And it tells another kind of a story too, a very poetic story about the attachment of First Nations people to the land, the way in which mythology comes through, the storytelling through land. And I'm sure that we'll see some of those ideas in my colleague's exhibition forthcoming in Toitū Toiora, which Nigel Burrell is actually pulling together, a really magnificent gathering of works, the likes of which I think New Zealand has not yet seen, which will take us on a fantastic Māori journey through forms and ideas, spiritual engagements and aesthetics. So, you know, I think that Michael's work will be in my show, but certainly there are some things of his in that program also.
Wonderful. Thank you, arts commentator Juliana Engberg, who's also programming for the Auckland Art Gallery, among many other things.